One of our traditions was to have the celebration of the Holy Eucharist to finish Synod as Synod was finishing, the last thing of the day, whether the day ended at noon or at late in the evening. The attrition rate, often for excellent reasons, was terrible, with only a few people sometimes lingering behind, and then they often looking at their watches to see when their flight was going and that sort of thing. And so we determined as we planned this to have it as close to the end as possible, but not at the very end, so that other business still might have to be done. It's also an Anglican tradition that the diocesan bishop welcomes people as they arrive to the synod, often by reading his charge to you, as I did the first day, and then it is the diocesan bishop who, at the end of the synod, sends you on your way, hopefully on your way rejoicing, but on your way nevertheless. And from the feelings I've been picking up talking to people, the expressions even in the hallway this morning, many of you, I think, have found this synod, if not a life-changing experience in the way we talk about that, one which has greatly enhanced your life and your membership in His Holy Church. And for that we rejoice, because each year, as we become more complex, it becomes more difficult for us to keep up that momentum of the enthusiasm we talked about earlier. And as Archdeacon McKinnon said earlier this morning, you know, when after all the wonderful words we have heard in this synod, and they have been extraordinary, and have been deeply impressed by the caliber of the younger clergy who are coming up the ranks, and realize that those of us who may be getting nearer the top of that ladder, that we can look down and see coming up behind us people to whom we can throw the torch, and people who will hold it high and carry on what has been started. And no, this is not leading up to a notice of resignation or retirement. But it is wonderful to see that happening. And it's only sometimes when we start using some people who had not been called upon before that we see the remarkable gifts that are there in the leadership of this church. And I hope that will be nourished and used through the various activities in which we will take place. It seemed to me about 10 o'clock last night, after what you all will know was a very full but rewarding day, and I got to the room and suddenly realized that I was preaching at this closing service, that I almost broke the tradition and called one of the other bishops and said, I think it'd be nice to share the service up with you this morning. Would you like to preach? Actually, the primate did that to me in Toronto last year when we had the provincial council meeting there and the House of Bishops for the whole province. And I was going to dinner on, say, Friday night, and he said, I'd like for you to preach tomorrow morning. And, well, so much for dinner. The text that we have been using quite often throughout, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I was living for a summer in the city of Durham in England, a beautiful city with an even more beautiful cathedral. And I reached my 25th anniversary of ordination to the priesthood. I had become familiar with some of the clergy there, and the university chaplain invited me to celebrate that event by celebrating the Holy Eucharist with a group of his students that night in the chapel that was in the bottom of the castle, which is right alongside of the cathedral. I went with much joy being able to celebrate in such a unique place, and also feeling pretty cocky about myself. You know, 25 years a priest, I made it this long, you know, whoopee me, what a good boy am I. Came into the chapel and noticed it was lit only by candles. And then I was told this was a little Norman chapel that had been there over 1,000 years. And I stood on the steps of that little altar and realized that in that 1,000 years, how many countless hundreds, if not thousands, of priests had stood there before me. How many, certainly thousands of people in congregations had come over the years. Different eras with different worries. You know, those came in at the time of the Black Death, for example, those at the time of Civil War, all of those things. And here was puny little me standing before them saying, look, God, I made it for 25 years. While this great host of history was there before me. And I think that night, for the first time, I really felt the power of the communion of saints, that I was surrounded by a greater cloud of witnesses, people I had never known, people who would never know of me, but yet together, even now in this wonderful heaven and earth coming together in the Eucharist, as part of something so much bigger, something so much greater than my little mind was conceiving at that time. And it is with some significance that although our dates for Synod have fluctuated to being early November, that this year in particular, they come exactly on All Saints' Tide. We started with All Saints' Day, and then we started with the commemoration of All Souls, those who have gone before. And then on the 3rd of November, I don't know if you missed it this year because of the cycle we were here with Synod, but was the commemoration of Richard Hooker, that great theologian who has set so much of a standard for us in our own distinctive Anglican theology, which is still part of the theology of the Catholic Church of Christ. I think it's wonderful that we do keep a calendar in that way, because we don't just focus on one thing. But I think we have to also recognize at All Saints' Tide that we are recognizing so many countless thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who have never had the word saint put in front of their names and yet have been God's witnesses, the light of the world in their own generation. And you know some of them, and I know some of them. I like to stop and think sometimes, not just of the people who influenced my life in ministry, but also of those people I met in ministry whose goodness shone out, often very simple, humble people, in some occasions people who would be designated as illiterate by any of the standards of today. And yet Christ was living in them. And I think of all the definitions I have of a saint, whether it's with a big S or a small s, is that a saint, like most of us, is a sinner who keeps on trying. And that's what these people were. And things were done sometimes where you could see the life of Jesus, the light of Jesus, and examples of the life of Jesus coming forth in them. And so I think it appropriate at the close of our synod, close to the close of our synod, that we thank Almighty God that we are part of this great stream from the day of Pentecost down to now, who have witnessed to the life of Jesus Christ and have tried to pattern our lives after his life. And that really is why we are here, calling ourselves something different than we would have called ourselves 10 years ago. We're here because we felt in order to follow Christ properly and still become part of an Anglican family that has led so many people to Christ, we had to do it in his way and not in the way of the world. So coming here as a synod, as the Bishop Nazarelli told us last night, the importance of coming together, sharing one another, strengthening one another, confirming one another to go out, and even if we're doing things a bit differently here and there, we're still basically helping people to see Jesus. And that's what makes this church of ours now so wonderful. I no longer have to apologize for being an Anglican. I'm with a group of people who know Christ and want to make him known and are going to do their utmost to do just that. Now, the text I used was, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it occurred to me, if you just change one letter in that word cloud, you can turn it into the word crowd. So, seeing also that we are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses. And who are these witnesses? These witnesses are people in other churches who are looking at us, not even admitting they're doing it, but seeing what we are doing and how we are doing things differently. We have another crowd of witnesses who have had the courage to do what they felt God was calling them to do and to join this network of churches and to entrust their spiritual future into our hands. And that's overwhelming. What we do with the synod just doesn't affect us. It just doesn't affect the new board that we are electing, the new council. It also must point out that we are here and we are responsible for those who sent us here. We are responsible for all these faithful people in our parishes, many of whom have suffered far more than we have, for the stand they made, the loss of family and friends. And we cannot let them down. And we cannot get so involved with our own internal squabbles, which comes naturally with coming together as a group, that anything we do would weaken how they expect us to work for them on their behalf. And that's why when you accept the responsibility of being a delegate to Synod, it lays so very, very much upon your shoulders. You've heard me tell before, and I won't mention names this time, certainly one of the most moving experiences of all in leading up to this was when, after a long day of meeting in a very tense atmosphere about 3 years ago, one of the bishops went out into the corridor and came in with an infant grandchild in his arms. Didn't say anything. He walked around the room with this little child, came to the end of the table, he held the child up and said, "Look, sweetheart, these are the people who are trying to make sure there's a church here for you when you grow up." That's what you're doing. You're trying to make sure there's a church for those who follow. In this particular synod, a deeply moving experience for me was last evening when, after dinner, I went up to the executive floor and there were a dozen young people gathered. Young people full of enthusiasm, not bowed down in the same way with some of the cares we feel we have in running a church. And to see their enthusiasm and their joy in the Lord and their desire to bring other young people with them next year when they come, we can learn from that. We must never get so involved with the Constitution or any other part of our being held together, as necessary as they are, that we lose sight of that tremendous responsibility that we have willingly undertaken. And we don't do ourselves and we don't do them and we certainly don't do Jesus any favor when we depart from seeking out what he wants us to do. That is very heavily laid upon us. And we must do it. I heard Archdeacon Critch this morning talk about what he wants, what we want, what you want, I hope, for us to do in Advent. Remember the Advent collect. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light. Our way forward has involved casting off things that were hindering us, casting off things which were preventing us from having this relationship with Jesus we wanted. But we don't just cast off. That doesn't get us that relationship. We get that thrown away, put aside. And in its place, we must put on something else. And that putting on comes through the sacraments of the church, through the Word of God, and through the emphasis we are making, be you high church or low, the emphasis we are making on personal conversion, on the soul coming to Jesus, the soul seeing Jesus and leaving with the words of Jesus ringing in their ears. But the vision of how Jesus lives, how Jesus would have lived from what they see us doing. And so I'm sending you out. Not right away. We have some business to do yet this morning. But as your moderator, and I'm afraid to use that word anymore this morning after last night, but as your moderator, I want you to go forth from this synod feeling better and stronger and richer than when you came. You came here with the motto on your books, "We want to see Jesus." Dear friends, as each one of us leaves here, let us say to one another, "Thank you, Jesus. We have seen you." Amen.